been a tremendous chus getting ready for Shavuos with the Eilam, working on Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. There's nothing like working on Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. It really gets to the kishkas of who you are. There's no fooling anybody in these areas. And I see the Eilam is shtagging, and it's supposed to be part of the Eilam. In all areas, the Eilam is shtagging. This man has been fantastic so far, and you see that Mika Amcha Yisrael, Mamisha, a great nation. We're part of a great nation. I would like to B'siyata Dishmaya do something very exciting. For me, this is very exciting because it's so incredibly important, and that is to be nichnas into Shavuos to discuss something that, unfortunately, I think we have an understanding of as deep as kindergarten, which is Har Sinai, Maimed Har Sinai. You know, we all have little cute songs about Har Sinai, and we know these midrashim about how little Har Sinai was and how humble, and my kids make Har Sinai cakes. And unfortunately, I'm embarrassed to say that I don't know how much more sophisticated our understanding of Har Sinai is. So maybe we'd say it's not such a big deal. We're going to find out that if we don't understand what Har Sinai is, if we don't live with it every day, then we don't understand anything. So B'siyata D'shmaya, it could be that in a half hour we'll all be different people. We will be booted up with new understandings of things that we thought were not sugyas b'chlal. And leave, just the sing-song level of Havana of Har Sinai. So, Lemaisa, let's start like this. It says in Pirkei Avos, the opener, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Masril Yeshua, Yeshua lezakenim, right? Lezakenim lamshik nesak doila. What happened over here? There was a shalshalos of the Masorah. Moshe got the Torah and he gave it over to Yeshua. Yeshua gave it over to the zakenim. However, there's a poor editing job over here. Lemaisa, who did Moshe get it from? Moshe Rabbeinu. We know where Yeshua got it from. It says Moshe gave it to Yeshua. Where did Moshe get it from? Me-Sinai. Oh, you got it from a mountain? Very interesting. So you say, okay, not so important. It doesn't work that way, Rabbosai. The Mishnayos were written, Mamish is Torah Me-Sinai. Torah Me-Sinai. Every word of the Mishnayos is supposed to be that way. Why doesn't it say that Moshe kibel Torah Me-HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why does it say that Moshe got the Torah from Sinai? So obviously Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, it's crucial for our understanding of Torah to understand that it was from Sinai. Everything we understand about Torah is going to be Torah mi Sinai, Torah that comes from Har Sinai. Many different approaches as to why. One approach, the Chassid Yaivitz, one of the Rishonim, the Chassid Yaivitz says that every other Navi, when he got a Nevuah, where did he get his Nevuah? Location, even though you see him right now, where did he get it? In Shamayim. His Neshama, is very, very, it's like a rocket ship. It can go high, high up there. You look like you're down here. You get that prophecy, that Nevuah, all the way in Shamayim, but where's the location of the prophecy? Where's the location of the experience, the encounter with Borei Olam? All the way up there in Shamayim. However, at one time in history, there was a frightful event. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down here. He came to Sinai. He came to a location. You could put it on your GPS. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hirchin shchinasai. He lowered his shchina to us at the time of Maimed Har Sinai. And the more we understand why this had to happen, the more we'll change our whole understanding of what Torah is and our understanding of what it is Shavuos, Bechlal. The Ramban writes that there's a mitzvah. He has a sefer. It's not such a big sefer. It's really an addendum to the Rambam sefer. The Rambam wrote a whole sefer on mitzvahs. And the Ramban wrote the mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot. That's a nice name for a sefer. The forgotten mitzvahs. What is one of the forgotten mitzvahs that the Rambam did not quote? Mitzvah sheni. It's elosase. Shem nimneinu shelo nishkoch maimid har Sinai. A person is not allowed to forget Har Sinai. V'lo nasir oisay midatenu. We cannot remove it from our minds. Aval yiyu einenu v'libenu sham. We have to be living at Har Sinai, our eyes and our hearts. Kol hayamim, all the days of our lives. Whoa, that's a far cry from Har Sinai cake, Rabosai. And yet, the Ramban says, all the time we're living at Har Sinai. Those, the thunder, the lightning, the fire, the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. We're supposed to be there with our eyes and hearts every day. And someone who doesn't do this, I'm afraid to say, is over on a lav. So it's good we came today. Okay? At least we can start trying. Says the Ramban, we need this. Why? That's a good question. Why do we need this? V'hakavana b'zeh, gedola ma'od. Hold on to your seats. Why do we need to be thinking about Har Sinai? Shim hayu divrei Torah boim etzlenu mipi navi. Says the Ramban, if a person comes and says, I am a man of the Lord, and everyone comes and he starts doing all these neat tricks, right? So it's very impressive. It's very impressive. A person could get sucked into that. So says the Ramban, a person might come and say there's a new Torah, Chas v'Shalom. There's somebody else. There's something else going on. However, every one of us, every one of the Yidden was at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, we didn't get miracles. That's not what it was. It wasn't tricks. It wasn't a magic show. You know what it was? At Har Sinai, we got a prophecy. All of us, every single one of us, 600,000 men and millions of women and children got a private prophecy. This is something that never happened in history. Not only did it never happen in history before, but there's no religion in the world that had the chutzpah to claim such a thing. First of all, it's a total impossibility. I mean, first of all, try to get a bunch of Jews to agree on one thing. Try 600,000, right? We go to that big atzeret of tefillah. You know, everyone's arguing whether it was nice bichlal. They don't even know. Forget what they saw over there. Imagine 200,000 yidden, 300,000 see a UFO. One guy will think it's like a frisbee. One thinks it's a flying pizza. Everybody's got their own opinion. There were no dissenting opinions, Rabosai. Every one of the millions of people in Klal Yisrael said that they had an undoubted nevuah prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was not even that they saw a sound and light show. And says the Ramban, after such a thing happens, game over. Game over. And there's a reason why. There's a reason, Kach Kibalti Merabosei, there's a reason why no other religion will ever claim this. It's an absolute impossibility to claim such a ridiculous thing of millions of people seeing something for years and years and years to keep to such a thing if it didn't happen. And the Ramban says you have to hold on to this experience. And you have to teach your kids this. And you have to be living with that clarity. Because ultimately this is the greatest clarity that was ever given to us, was Maimed Har Sinai itself. And I'd like to try to get into some of the things that we've read in Rashi, read in the Gemara, and I don't think we've ever tried to understand Bechlal. Let's go with a nice trick over here. In Shmais, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Aleph, it says we heard the Aseres HaDibros. How did we hear them? This is really cool. Not only did we hear the Aseres HaDibros, but first we heard them all at the same time. Okay? Boom! How does that happen? How do you hear all Aseres HaDibros, all 10 of them, at once? And can I ask you a really dumb question? Why? Like, aside from the fact that it's really interesting to do that, right afterwards Hashem went through all of the Aseres HaDibros consecutively. Why do you have to hear them all at the same time? And here's another one that you've been saying since you're little. Everybody knows this. Zachar v'shamor b'dibor echa nemra. There are two parts of Shabbos. The mitzvahs aseh of Shabbos, all the geshmak parts of Shabbos. The mitzvahs los aseh of Shabbos, all the don'ts of Shabbos, all the things that get you into serious trouble. All the malachas. Zachar v'shamar were said b'dibur echad. Hashem said them to us at the same time. Mashe ha'peh lo yachal idaber. A person can't even articulate them simultaneously. U'mashe ha'ozen eino yachal lishma. So if your ears can't hear it, and a peck can't say it, what in the world is going on over here? What's happening? So yeah, we know it. This is what happened. But what? What in the world is happening? This is much more than a Har Sinai cake, Rabosai. There's strange things going on. We're taking all of this information in at the same time. We've got Zachar v'Shamar together, the Seres HaDibros. And then, Roas HaKolos. You don't just have thunder and lightning over here. You get to see what you hear and hear what you see. Makarekan. What happened to our ears and our mouths over here? Like, all the senses are going haywire. It's not by chance. It's not by chance. The pshat is Azoivi the Ramban. There are two types of experiences you can have in life. When you go to a magic show, you know what you have? They show you that little ball. You know, I'm not good at these things, but you know. They do that. It's all what we call a sensory experience. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your taste, whatever it might be. There are a lot of things that go in. The better the trick, you know, the more senses, the more you're amazed. But it's a sensory experience, which means you could be duped by such a thing. Klal Yisrael was boosted into a metzias of nevuah. The whole point is you weren't hearing with your ears in Har Sinai. You weren't hearing with your ears. You were in a different stratosphere. You were in a different place where you could hear 10 things at the same time. Why would you want to hear all the Aseres HaDibros at one time? Why would you want to do that? Good question. I think the pshat is the following. Rav Saadia Gaon, the Gaonim already say that the Aseres HaDibros is all of the Torah is somehow inside the Aseres HaDibros. And ultimately, if a person really knew what all of Torah is, it's all even in the first Dibra. When Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's really all there. How am I supposed to understand that? The answer is you can't. In a world that we're in, it doesn't make sense. If there are 10, how could they be one? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in a situation where we see Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu Echad. Hashem, I see how everything fuses together. Something that I would never be able to comprehend in my life. Total clarity. One shtickle Torah to answer every shaila in the book. Then we go through it consecutively. But first, Klal Yisrael was booted up with an understanding that was simply impossible. A prophecy for every single person there. And also, perhaps in Shabbos too. In Shabbos we have the parts that we're very excited about. Right? The parts, the food. Right? The schnapps. And then we've got all the don'ts and the drags. Imagine seeing Shabbos in one unit, Rabosai, where Shabbos is just the ultimate day, and you see how everything fuses together. Perhaps it's hard to see that because of this. But to see them like this, Shabbos like this, not just with a nice flowery Dvar Torah, but to see it in front of you, that all the don'ts in the Torah and all the do's in the Torah are the same. A lot of times we think don'ts are negative, and do's are all happy-go-lucky, and we can't understand. Here, it was all clear to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened us into a different dimension. And this is merumas. It's hinted to in the fact that Klal Yisrael, when they heard the Dibur of Hashem, you know what happened? Boom! They flew backwards. How much did they fly backwards? Yud Beis Mil, the entire distance of the entire camp of Klal Yisrael. For every Dibur that Hashem did, they got shot backwards, and the Malachim had to bring them forwards. What do you need to know this for? What do you need to know this for? The answer, Kach Shamati me Rebbe Ramesh Shapiro, Shlita, Yud Beis Mil. You know what Yud Beis Mil is? The Rambam Paskins, we Paskin that if you go out of the Tchum on Shabbos, Alpayim Amah, 2,000 Amas, it's only an Isser. It's only an Isser Durabbanan, according to the Machlokas in the Gemara, but it's only an Isser Durabbanan. But everyone agrees, according to the Rambam and the Yerushalmi, that if you go Yud Beis Mil, if you go the shear of the entire Machane of Klal Yisrael, you're over on the Isser of being Yotza from Rishus. You've left your place. Because that's the greatest place that could ever be is the size of Machane Yisrael. That's the place. It's got the entire camp of Klal Yisrael. And he said, the pshat is, when you heard something from Hashem over here, you got jetted out of your Rishus. It's like it took you to a different dimension. You were in a different place. Every time Hashem said something here, it was simply too much to be in where you were in life. Everything that was simple to you, that you thought was this way, was a different way. The world became a much deeper place, and with every Dibur of Hashem, you got thrusted into a different experience of life that you never knew before. And then there's something else over here, which sounds like a cruel punishment. Okay, it's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara Shabbos says on Peches that every time that we heard something from Hashem, you know what happened? We died. Rachmana litzlan. That means during this period of, you know, Hatzalah wouldn't be able to handle such a thing, Rabosai. Every single person, parcha nishmasam, their neshama fell out of themselves. That's it. How did they come back to themselves? HaKadosh Baruch Hu revived each person with a towel of Tchiyas HaMesim, with the dew that's going to be used for Tchiyas HaMesim. Why? What is going on over here? What is this intensity? So you'll just say, it's very powerful to hear from Hashem. No! The pshat is they went to a dimension that wasn't here bichlal. Everything they heard was a clarity that nobody would ever get if they were stuck down here. So every time they heard something, they had to leave. And then they had to come back. Then they had to leave. And then they had to come back. And this was what was going on at Maimon Har Sinai. It's absolutely frightful to experience this. Imagine every single thing that's going on is way beyond your kelim could ever imagine. This is what Borei Olam did for us. And this was something that he wanted Klal Yisrael to experience once. The world would never experience this again. There will never be a collective experience like this. And this was all to sear and blaze into our hearts an emunah that's so real. Just as simple as that. That my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, going all the way back, they all have the same story. That this is what happened to them. They were not duped by miracles, because miracles are the sleight of hand. They came with a clarity of prophecy. Each one of them reported the same thing. Exactly. Exactly what Borei Olam said over here. Exactly what transpired. And there's a mitzvah to never forget this and to pass it down to your children. So much so that the Rambam writes in Igeres HaTeiman that somebody whose emuna is shaky, how this works exactly, but you can think about this. The Rambam writes his great-grandparents must not have been at Har Sinai. Because the emuna, again, there are other ways a person can lose their emuna, but the Rambam was talking about a person where, you know, when you do a scientific experiment, sometimes you isolate variables and you just want to know, is this problem, his only problem emuna, not his problem is that he wants to go clubbing. If he wants to go clubbing, then he'll say that he has problems in Amuna. But the guy's only problem is Amuna, Rabbi. That's his problem. His problem is Amuna. Most of the time it's clubbing. Every time I speak to somebody, I have problems in Amuna. Do you like clubbing? Yes. Okay, there you go. A guy who only has a problem in Amuna says the Rambam, something's wrong with his ancestry. Something's not right over here, because this is a simple part of Yahadus. So much so that the Mr. Whatever who came over here the other day, who caused such a ruckus and traffic, my wife couldn't get to the other side of Yerushalayim because of this guy. They knocked off our entire religion. Kach kibalti mirabosai. They tried to take everything from Yadus. There's only one thing that they couldn't take. The experience that makes it real, which is Har Sinai. They said some guy with a diaper was floating on water, and then he came back and told a friend. Shkaya! Great knockoff. And over a billion people are hook, line, and sinker in this. You know why? Because they want to tap into Maimon Har Sinai. They deep down know that this is what happened to us. They just needed a way to get some guy in a diaper to change the story around so that they could hold on to what we have from millions of people. And that's the only thing that they could have done. It's the only thing that's possible to do. Because everything that's miracles is sleight of hand and narishkeit. And this is what Borei Olam wanted from us. Every dibur and dibur to have a total understanding of emes, of what it is. And the Sefer Chinuch writes in his Hakdama, he says, this is in the beginning of the Sefer Chinuch, and it's also in the Rambam in Perek Ches of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, but with a nuance that's more meduyik over here for what I want. That's why I'm bringing it from over here. In order that there should be no doubts, everyone was zocha to nevuah. There's no such thing as doubt in prophecy. The Rambam defines prophecy as an experience that you could never doubt. It's a contradiction in terms. You can't say, maybe I had a prophecy. That already means you didn't have a prophecy. The definition, according to the Rambam, and kach kibalnu, is Prophecy is when I know what happened to me. Everything else, it could be a flying pizza, it could be a UFO, it could be a frisbee. It's all an issue of a sensory reality. However, this was an experience that is something that we don't doubt. And a person has to carry it. He has to carry it with him. Now let's discuss the fire. A lot of fire going on over here at Har Sinai. And this is going to bring us into a new dimension of what's going on. It makes a mushroom cloud, you know, like Hiroshima and Nagasaki into like a Fisher-Price matzav, Rabosai. We're talking an ashan that went up as far as you can go. As far as you can go. What's going on? Why? What is this fire? What's this esh, this ashan, this fire? What's going on over here? The answer is, why do we need to know about this now? The Torah is an esh. This is a demo. Maimon Har Sinai wasn't just some sort of tekes, some sort of fancy trick show. It was to show you what Torah is. You want to know what Torah is all the time when you're in front of your Gemara? Sometimes it looks a little boring. Maskim. But if you want to know what it is, boom! It's fire! It's an atomic bomb! Every single word of Abaye and Rava. There's only one time in history where Hashem showed this to everybody. At Har Sinai. He let them see what Torah is. It's not that he just wanted fire there because he thought it would be cool. Chas v'shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, you want to see Torah? One time I'm going to show you what this thing looks like. And this is why, when Yonasan ben Uziel would learn Torah, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, Tosfos, he would sit there, and his chavrusa was sitting next to him, right? Both of them are saying, Mema Sai Karan is Kriyashma, right? This little bird, tweet, 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 going over his chavrusa, makes it alive, then all of a sudden goes around, pow, explodes, fire, boom. And the Rav Das Tfunus, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the Ramchal, asks, he says, they're both sitting next to each other, they both look like they're the same people. And they both have white beards, and they both have frocks. And yet, you just do the old pigeon test. You send the pigeon over and see which one explodes. He's the guy who's really learning well. What happened over here? How could it be that two people doing the exact same thing? Says the Ramchal, one is living by Har Sinai. One is not just reading this, it's just, let me get through morning Seder, and let me wait till my next coffee break. One Pashut feels like he's there. And therefore, the fire came back. The fire from Har Sinai, which is really the Eish of Torah, is there. And the other one's just learning. He's a good Jew. He's a good Jew. But Lamaisa, he hasn't tapped in. So much so, that once Dayan Grosnas, Zatzal, was under a bed in the house of Rav Baruch Ber. And Rav Baruch Ber brought in a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. And the Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, he said to him, the reason he was under a bed was because Baruch Ber cleared everything out. I just don't have time to go through the whole story. So he's under the bed and he's listening, and Baruch Ber is speaking to this Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, and he says, what does your Rebbe do with you? What's the Seder Hayom, the Chafetz Chaim, I want to hear? He says, on Fridays he tells the stories, and I'll tell you one story that he told us about his Rebbe, Rav Nachumka Meharadna. Rav Nachumka, when the Chafetz Chaim was little, he noticed that the Rebbe Rav Nachumka, at a certain time in the night, would go into the main shul. He had a key, he would go inside, and he would do something in there. And the Chafetz Chaim, as a young boy, wanted to see what's going on over here by his Rebbe. So he decides one night, after Mairev is over in the main shul, he hides in the Ezra's Nashim, the Shamish looks, nobody's there, locks him in there. Chafetz Chaim's waiting for his Rebbe to come in the middle of the night. Rav Nachumka comes, he gets up on the bima, he's learning some sefer, and all of a sudden, the little Chafetz Chaim was about to scream. He saw fire surrounding his Rebbe, rotating. And he was about to scream, and he saw that the fire wasn't burning. It wasn't burning anybody. So he just stayed there and watched in amazement from his Rebbe. I would think this is a very impressive story. I'm sure, I'm watching you guys like, okay? And you're right, because this really happened. It's not a Baba Maisa. But listen to what Rav Baruch Ber said to this story. Dayan Grosnas was under the bed. He said, the fire thing? That's not the story Bechlal. He says, all Talmidei Chachamim have that. He says, the story's about the Chafetz Chaim, that at that young age he had the Kedusha in his eyes to be able to see such a fire. He was on the Madrega to see something like that. It could be that the fire at Har Sinai, I don't know, Rabosai, maybe we wouldn't see anything because of our eyes, what we put our eyes to. But there's a real fire. If we had Kedusha Seinayim, who knows what we would be able to see from this Esh, this amazing Esh. And this is why we're living at Har Sinai. The Bach in Orach Chaim, in Simen Mem Aleph, says that when a person hears the Kriyas HaTorah, he should feel like he's getting a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should feel as if it's the Yom Shenitna Bo Sinai. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that a Baal Keri, someone who has an emission, someone who has marital relations, the Gemara, it's not La Halacha here, we have to get into the Halacha another time, but there's an idea that a Baal Keri is not allowed to learn. Why? Because the Torah was given Be'ema Be'resus V'zeh, it was given a scary. So why can't I learn Torah if I'm a Baal Keri? Says Rashi on the spot, all other tummies are fine in Torah. You can be scared. Aval Bali Keri, being with one's wife, which requires a certain level of lightheadedness, levity. He's too lightheaded for Torah. So what? What does that have to do with that there was a scary Maimed Har Sinai? The answer is, our Torah is supposed to be a Maimed Har Sinai. And just like there was no chill at Maimed Har Sinai, so too a person has to be on a level of seriousness when they enter the Divrei Torah. And now I want to come to a very heavy point. Very, very heavy. Let's take a deep breath, if this wasn't heavy enough. And I'd like to try to explain why this Maimed Har Sinai has to do with everything that's going on in our lives. The Gemara in Shabbos says something very interesting. It says, why is it called Har Sinai? The Gemara says in the second pshat, because it's a place of sunny that's made of hatred. What hatred? Says the Ran. Rashi says a different pshat. The Ran in Drashas HaRan and the Psik de Zutta, which is a medrash, says that Har Sinai made the Goyim hate us. Whoa, it made the Goyim hate us? Yes, it made the Goyim hate us. The word sunny means hate. It made them hate us. Why? Because everyone likes a maimed, guys. Everyone likes a matzav. This was the matzav, okay? The matzav that will never be topped. And the Goyim can't stand that, because we're outdoing them. And I'd like to show you that we will see in our lives times where these Goyim are trying to make their own Maimed Har Sinai, but it's not going to work. Our Maimed Har Sinai is not a sound and light show. It's somewhere that takes us to a different stratosphere. By them, it's the opposite. You'll notice, I'm not telling you to go, you know, to a rock concert or whatever it is. However, very often, these people will be, there'll be smoke coming before they come out. And then they're dropped from the bottom. Either from the, they go in an elevator up, or they go from down. Why? What are you doing? Like, we're supposed to sing a little, right? That's what you came for. And then, also in MSG, before things, everybody's getting excited. Why? They want a maimed. We have thousands of people in this room. We want something real. We want something awesome. However, we know that all it is the sound and lights. But Etzem, there's nothing going on over here. I was sitting in an elevator on Pesach, and there was this woman discussing with her kid the WWF. Fine, we all remember the WWF, a bunch of people in their underwear. A gewaltige thing. Anyway, so she's talking to her son, and he's so excited. She says, Abba's going to take you. There's obviously a very modern family. Abba's going to take you to see him and this one, and then the Undertaker and the this. And then there's some guy over there by the elevator, and he says, you know the Undertaker's getting sued for such as, and she goes, shh, shh, my son doesn't know that it's not real. He thinks it's all real. Shh, shh. I was thinking to myself, like, what is going on over here? What is this? You know, I remember when they told me the WWF was fake. It's like, they destroyed me, Rav Osai. I can't even believe the Undertaker's still around. He must have like a great beard. It's been 20 some odd years. I don't know, is he walking with a cane? He's undefeated? They must have got another one of these guys. They can't be. But the pshat is, they're living in a dimyon. It's exactly that. It's all fixed, Rav Osai. There's no Romulus in this. And there are people who want to buy in. They don't want to see that there's nothing behind the Choshech. Mechitzis. Har Sinai had mechitzis around it, okay? There are mechitzis. And in everything that you have in life, you have box seats, you have courtside seats, You have Meshuggahs running up to the stage. Ah, I love you, I love you. And then the bouncer throws them back in the crowd. And they're, ah, I love you, I love you. Why is that? They like that. You know why they like that? Because it creates a romamus. If there's a mechitza and somebody tries to get in there and they get shechted, it shows that something important is going on inside. But nothing's happening over there. It's empty as the metzias that it is. It's nothing. It's klum. And a person has to be makir that this is exactly what's going on. When I was a bachur, I was already getting to become mashkiach trading, it must be. You'll see from the story. I was probably 20, and I was in shul for Shavuos. And I think the Devils were in game 7. And I had a friend who was a die-hard Devils fan. And again, I'm from a more modern area, it's important for the background. And he's a good guy. This guy, he decided, he's trekking over to the Meadowlands on Shavuos. He's going to the game, he'll be back for Shacharis in shul. And everyone was so impressed with this, you know, he loves the Devils, but he's with Hashem, you know, this is unbelievable. I don't know if he knew about Tchum issues, Bechlal. And I was sitting there, this young guy who was, you know, starting to get into things. And I remember he waltzed in, I think the Devils won. He waltzed in there, he felt very good. And I couldn't help myself. I looked at him, and I said, I want you to know, we were all dancing around Har Sinai, and you were dancing around the Egel Hazav. He nearly passed out, and he totally agreed with me. That was the scary thing. I was blown away from his reaction. He basically did not know what to do with himself. That's exactly what the Egel Hazav is. The Egel Hazav is a false sense of hope. There are people who've been waiting for the Rangers to win. I was there, Rabosai, outside MSG, right after the Rangers won. You know what it's like? You know what it's like to be outside? It was like Yom Kippur out here. You know when you see the highway, it's dead? There was a certain romus. It was unbelievable. Everyone was just hugging each other randomly. There was nothing there, Rabosai. And now you just went right from there until the frustration, until maybe they'll get it this time. There's nothing there. All COVID comes from is that something greater is behind the mechitza. When you get into the mechitza, you find dirt. They're all dirt. It's just pucks and balls and this, and it's not an issue of being a fan. We're not talking about following sports here. We're talking about understanding that it's not a real maimed. There's nothing that makes this so like that. Even if a person's into it, they have to realize that it doesn't touch the other realities. There are people who come into yeshiva who think that the happiest moment of their life will be if their team wins. It means they fell hook, line, and sinker. They're missing the understanding of Romulus. They're missing understanding of what Matan Torah is. Someone who lives with Matan Torah laughs at this stupidity. Laughs at it. And again, I'm not talking, my point here is not to be mevatel sports. That's not what it is. I'm being mevatel the maimed. If it's a person's entertainment to follow these things, that's not the sugya we're talking about here. But Har Sinai, Rabosai. Once a person understands what Har Sinai is tapping into a reality that you'll never be able to access. You'll be able to access those things if you get in behind the curtain over there. And you get able, try to talk to these guys, try to have a conversation with them about something. They have nothing to say. It's like, how do you feel? Bleh. Okay guys, we should all be zochet to understand what it is, Maimon Har Sinai.